I'd like to thank all of you for kindly coming and giving us your association on this auspicious evening. This evening we are celebrating the appearance of Lord Sri Balaramji. It is a most important event because without properly understanding the mercy of Lord Balaram and understanding how to acquire his causeless mercy, it is most difficult to follow the path of true bhakti. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes the birth on that fateful evening of the wedding ceremony of Vasudeva and Devaki on the chariot as Kamsa, the brother of Devaki, was driving her to Vasudeva's palace. At that time, a resounding and ominous voice appeared in the sky. Kamsa, you are a fool. You are taking such nice care of your sister, not knowing that the eighth child, the eighth son of your sister, Devaki, will be the cause of your death. Ah, he became very, very much disturbed. When one considers oneself to be this material body, which is the fundamental illusion of all bondage and suffering within this material existence, then one performs even most abominable, atrocious activities simply to protect the sense gratification of this dying body. Out of fear, Kamsa took the hair of Devaki, took his sword, and was about to sever her head from her body. This is the nature of a person who is too much controlled by the senses. You can never trust them, even if they appear to be your best, well-wishing, loving friend, doing so many favors for you. If you interfere with sense gratification, they can turn against you and be your worst enemy. Kamsa was acting like such a loving brother. Can you imagine this gesture? He was such a powerful king. He had so many servants, so many charioteers, but out of love for his sister, at least physical love for his sister, he was willing to take the position of her charioteer, which is actually quite a menial service, just to please her, just to make her feel very much comforted when going to a strange place like her husband's home. So at one moment, he was going out of his way to show his love and respect. But as soon as he found out that his sister was a threat to his sense enjoyment, at the next moment, he was ready to ruthlessly, cold-heartedly kill her. This is material life. Therefore, the Shastra says we can only trust someone whose senses are always controlled by being engaged in the loving service of the Lord. Besides such devotees, we really never know who is our friend and who is just superficially appearing to be our friend. So Vasudev with so many arguments, tried to convince Kamsa to stop. But Kamsa, because he was so infatuated with fear, he could not hear the philosophy. But he was able to hear negotiation. What was the negotiation? I will give you all the children. You have nothing to fear from your sister. But the children, I will give them all to you. You can do whatever you like with them. And Vasudeva was such a man of honor that he kept this promise, as painful as it was. Such a man of virtue. In this day and age, although it is explained in Kali Yuga, of the four legs of religiosity, truthfulness is the only one that's really surviving at all. Even truthfulness is dwindling so much that people will turn away from their word so quickly, so whimsically, without even thinking twice, if it is convenient. Huh? But amongst civilized people, when you give your word, you should die before you break it. Huh? When you make a vow, you should die before you break it. There's more dignity in death striving than going on living. Without maintaining the very honor of your life. Nowadays, people take vow before their spiritual master. And if it becomes difficult, I will no longer keep this vow. Or if they meet somebody they are a little more inspired by, I like him better. This is uncivilized consciousness. If we actually want to attract the heart of Krishna, we have to live by our vows, live by our words. And Vasudeva was such an extreme example of this. When the first child was born, Vasudeva brought the child to Kamsa. Here, he's yours. Kamsa, you're such an honest person. I have nothing to fear from this child. It's the eighth. You can take him. But due to bad, when Vasudeva was walking away with the child, he already had experience of Kamsa. One minute he's so nice to Devaki, the next second he's ready to kill her. He was thinking, you cannot trust anybody who doesn't control their mind and senses. He may be saying nice things now, but what will he do tomorrow? And sure enough, due to evil association, then very shortly after that, he killed the child and imprisoned Vasudeva and Devaki. And in that prison, six children were born consecutively, and each one, Kamsa, would brutally, cold-bloodedly murder right before their eyes. But the seventh child was a divine incarnation. The very first expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shankarshan, appeared within the womb of Devaki. How brilliant and effulgent she was, and how joyful she was. She could understand that divinity has entered into my womb. At that time, Lord Sri Krishna, he called upon his Yogamaya potency. And he instructed her that I want you to transfer this beautiful child, who is none other than Balaram, my original expansion, the first of all incarnations of Godhead, to the womb of Rohini, from the womb of Devaki. See, Vasudev had several wives, two of which were Devaki and Rohini. Now at the time when Kamsa was persecuting so much Vasudeva and Devaki and put them in prison, Vasudev entrusted his other wife, Rohini, to live in the cowherd village of his dearmost friend, Nanda Maharaj. So she was living in Gokul, along with Nanda and Yashoda, and under the protection of the Brijbasis, she was living a very, very happy life. So this child was transferred to her womb. And it was on the full moon night of the month of Shravan that this beautiful child was born, Sri Balaramji. When we speak of Vishnu Tattva, Balaram's presence is most important. It is described in the Bhagavat, in the Brahma Samhita, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam, that Krishna is the original form of the Absolute Truth. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. He is the Adi Purusha, the original person. Now when Krishna, in the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan, when he wants to enjoy transcendental lila, first he expands himself through a Vaibhava Prakash as Baladev. Baladev is the original servitor Godhead. He is Krishna himself that appears to serve Krishna. And how does he appear to serve Krishna? Balaram is unique. There is no other personality like him. Because Sri Balaji, Balaramji, he takes part in all the five rasas intimately with Sri Krishna. As Santarash, it is Balaramji who expands himself through his energy to create Goloka Vrindavan. The spiritual world of Goloka is the expansion of the energy of Balaram. The land, which is, and all of the surroundings, simply offering the most sweet and loving service to the Lord. Balaram also expands himself through his energy as Krishna's crown, as Krishna's flute, as Krishna's slippers, as Krishna's clothes, as all of Krishna's ornaments. It is all Balaram himself just appearing in these most wonderful forms just to give pleasure and service to Sri Krishna. And to assist him in attracting the hearts of all living beings by his beautiful decorated form. Huh? You see, Krishna is all attractive. The supreme pleasure of Lord Krishna is to attract everyone's heart. So when Balaram appears as the most beautiful crown, the most beautiful flute, the most beautiful jewels, the most beautiful lightning, golden colored dhoti. He assists Krishna by decorating his body in such a way that his attraction becomes even more attractive to attract the hearts of all. So this is how Balaramji appears in the Santaras. As far as Dasya Ras, whatever Balaram does is in the mood of the menial servant simply trying to please Sri Krishna, his brother. As Sakya Ras, he appears as Krishna's friend. They wrestle together, they play together, they dance together, they herd the cows together, they argue together, they fight together. Why? All in the mood of just giving pleasure to Krishna, just to supply service to the Lord. And because Balaramji is Krishna's elder brother, he also has Vatsalya-ras relationship. Because as elder brother, sometimes he takes that position. Krishna, it's late, go home. It's time to wake up. Huh? Krishna, Gopal, today's your birthday, you cannot go out and play, you must stay home. Huh? Sometimes in the forest, he would, when there was danger, he would be very protective, like a parent to Lord Sri Krishna, because that is the way an elder brother is supposed to be. And in Madhurya Ras, conjugal love, you see, Balaram cannot directly take part in that Leela with Krishna, because it's embarrassing. When Krishna is dancing with gopis, for the elder brother to be there, who's kind of like a parent, Balaram does not want to create an uncomfortable situation. So he expands himself as Ananga Manjari. How clever Balaramji is. Because Radha and Krishna, their relationship is the summit, the peak, the ultimate in loving reciprocation in Madhurya Ras. And because so many secret rendezvous between Radha and Krishna take place, Radharani is very much afraid of Balaram. And out of great respect, Balaram is very much afraid of Radharani, because he knows what her relationship is with Krishna. So they more or less have their separate leelas in so many ways. But still, Balaram wants to assist the love affairs of Radha and Krishna. So he appears as Ananga Manjari, who happens to be Radharani's younger sister. And he lives in the same house as her. And he's actually the most intimate, confidential sister associate of Radharani, and he's constantly playing with Radharani and making all wonderful arrangements for her to meet with Krishna. So in this way, Balaram, he provides service to Krishna in all the five primary rasas. And he is purely unique in this manner. And it is explained, this is happening in Goloka Vrindavan. When, for the purpose of creation, from Krishna, he first expands as Balaram. From Balaram is the expansion of Shankarshan, Aniruddha, Prajumana, and Vasudev. From that Chaturvyuha is the expansion of Narayan, the Lord of Vaikuntha. From that expansion is expanded the secondary Prajumana, Aniruddha, Vasudeva, and Shankarshan. From that Shankarshan is incarnated Adi Shankar, who is the original Lord Shiva. Actually, systematically, we can understand that Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, that Shiva is the greatest, the supremest of all Vaishnavas. Why? Because he is an expansion of the original spiritual master, Balaram. Now, that same Shankarshan also expands himself when it's time for creation as Karanodakshaya Vishnu, Mahavishnu. From Mahavishnu, the planets emanate from his body, the universes, He enters into its universe as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. Then he enters into the heart of every living being as Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. And all of the various incarnations that come in this world, Matsya Avatar, Varaha Avatar, Narasingha Avatar, Vaman Avatar, Ram Avatar, they are all incarnations of that Kshirodakshayi. So in this way we can understand that Balaram is the source of all incarnations. But he is always in the mood of servitor. Because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the mood of servitor, he is considered to be the original spiritual master. In Goloka Vrindavan, we always see in pictures, Krishna always holds his flute. And Balaramji always holds plow. Huh? Now this is very significant also. Why does Krishna carry his flute? To simply attract and charm the hearts of all living beings to his loving service. Huh? And why Balaramji carries plow? What do we do with a plow? Huh? We clear the road, right? We prepare the field so that the seed will grow. We either use a plow for that purpose in agriculture, or even to make roads, huh? To clear the obstacles. So as the original spiritual master, Balaramji, is personified with his plow for the purpose of, first of all, the Guru plows our hearts. Huh? His words are like a plow to make our hearts nice and soft so that the seed of devotion can grow and be attracted to the sweet sound of Krishna's flute. Now we must understand that when the dirt of the ground is very dry, it has to be plowed. And that plowing, it's not a very pleasurable thing. For the earth, the ground is being ripped apart. Just being ripped and ripped and ripped. Huh? So this is the purpose of a guru, to rip our hearts apart until it becomes very soft. To just plow it and plow it and plow it until all the hardness due to false ego and pride and illusion and lust and anger and greed. He has to make our hearts soft for the seed of love can grow in it. That's what God Balaram's plow is for. Through his representative, the spiritual master, he softens and prepares the field of our heart for the seed of love to be attracted to the sweet flute of Sri Krishna. And as far as clearing the road, the spiritual master clears all obstacles from our spiritual path, just like one uses a plow for that purpose. And the spiritual master is considered to be the representative of Sri Balaramji. In all of the wonderful incarnations of the Supreme Lord, the principal incarnations, we find that Balaram is present as Narayan. Balaram appears as Shankarashvan Sheshanag. He becomes the Lord's bed. Huh? Lakshmi is massaging his feet and Balaram is his bed, his resting place. In the avatar of Sri Ramchandra, Balaramji appears as his younger brother, Lakshman. And what was Lakshman's constant meditation? Simply to be the servant of Ram, always wanting to serve. He was so anxious to serve that he was doing all the service. It is described as a story of how Sita Devi when she married Ram, she came back to Ayodhya. And she wanted to have nice, intimate, confidential lila with Ram and do nice services for him. But wherever she was, Lakshman was right there. He was just guarding Ram with his bow and arrow, and anything Ram needed, he was just before he could even think of what he needed, Lakshman anticipated it and had it right there. And Sita was thinking that, you know, what is this? I cannot even be alone with my husband. I have nothing to do for him. This Lakshman is doing everything. So she approached Ram and she told him that, Sri Ram, please, maybe you can ask Lakshman to do something else and go somewhere else for some time. And Ram was thinking, how can I do that? If I take Sita's side, Lakshman will be angry. If I take Lakshman's side, Sita will be angry. So I cannot make a decision in this regard. So let us take this matter to our Gurudev Vasishtha Muni. He will. This is the function of a guru, to make decisions that nobody else likes to make. Right? It's not an easy job. So Ram and Lakshman and Sita all came together before Vasishtha Muni, and Ram said, everyone, both of you, tell Vasishtha Muni what is your problem. Sita said that when I married Sri Ram and Mithila, I took a vow that I would serve him 24 hours a day. I would never leave him. I would always be in his service. But I can't even keep my vow because this Lakshman, he's doing everything. And Lakshman, he said, from the day I was born, I was serving Ram like this. This is all I know. I have nothing else in my life. How can she take away my service? So Vasishtha Muni, he had to try to satisfy everyone. So he expertly explained that whenever Ram is at home, in his private chambers, Sita should be in charge of all services. And whenever he leaves his home and he goes out to fight battles or he goes to the state house, then Lakshman should always be there at his service. So Sita was very happy, but Lakshman was not happy at all. Because this is Balaramji, this is Lakshman. Just simply no other purpose to his existence except pleasing Sri Ram and serving Sri Ram. Anyways, Lakshman loved Sita as much as he loved Ram. She was the mother of his life. She was the goddess of his life. And as the younger brother of Ram, Lakshman had to constantly carry out his orders. And Ram gave him very difficult orders. One time, Ram told Lakshman that we are in the forest of Dandakaranya. Sita wants me to catch this golden deer. You must stay here and take care of her. Yes, I am your obedient servant. I will stay and I will guard Sita. So Ram went, and you know the story, how Ram shot his arrow in this deer, knowing ultimately that he was an asura. And the deer, who was the demon Maricha, He called out, "Lakshman, help me, Lakshman, help me." And Sita said, "Lakshman, Ram's in trouble, go help him." Lakshman said, "Ram is not in trouble. Who can harm Ram?" She said, "No, he is in trouble. Go, go, go." He said, "But he's given me an order. He ordered me not to leave you. I must stay here." She said, You just want to see Ram in trouble. You want to see him dead so that you can enjoy me." And when Lakshman heard this, he said, No, not like that, not like that." And then she said, "Well, go help him." So he went to help him. And when he went, Ravana came and stole Sita away. And then Ram and Lakshman came back. Ram said, "Why did you leave Sita? You know there's no danger." He said, "But what can I do?" Then they came back and Sita was gone. Ram said, "Lakshman, how see what you have done? I was just trying to follow your orders. I told you to stay. Sita told me to go." Being a servant is not always an easy thing. Sometimes our brahmacharis, one authority gives you one instruction and another authority gives you another instruction. You wonder what to do. But even God has that problem. So why do you think you shouldn't have that problem? Lakshman is God. So you should be grateful to follow in his footsteps. And you try to please one, and you try to please you. Huh? This is Krishna's mercy. Another time, poor Lakshman, not poor Lakshman, but in one sense, yes, he was feeling poor. Sita, after they destroyed Ravana's army, she was brought back from Sri Lanka to Rameshwaram. And they had her on a beautiful chariot, a palanquin. They had her on a palanquin. They were bringing her back to Ram on a palanquin. Ram sees Sita on a palanquin. Ram says, "Tell Sita she shouldn't be on a palanquin, she should be walking." Lakshman thinks, "Well, she's the goddess of fortune, she's the mother of my life. I should tell her to walk." Ram said, "Tell her to walk." So Lakshman goes, "Sita Devi, you have to get off your palanquin and walk." She got off and walked. She didn't mind, but it was very painful for Lakshman to have to say this. And then she comes before Ram after almost a year of separation. You could imagine this grand reunion between Sita and Ram. And what does Ram do? He says to Lakshman, "I cannot take this woman back. She has been with another man." And Sita, when she hears this, she just starts to weep. She starts to cry. She says, "Ram, if I knew you were going to deal with me like this, why didn't you tell me this a year ago? There wouldn't have had to been this big bloody war with so many millions of people killed. I would have committed suicide last year if I knew you didn't want me back. There's no point in me living anymore." "Lakshman," she said, "I want you to collect wood and make a funeral pyre and light it. I'm going to enter into the funeral pyre." Lakshman says, "You want me to start a funeral pyre so you could walk into?" She said, "Yes." And he looked at Ram and said, "Ram, you don't want her to do this, do you?" Ram just, "Go ahead." While he's collecting this wood, he's like, he's weeping, he's crying, he's in utter distress that he has to be a part of this leela. So he builds a funeral pyre and he lights it. No, he builds it first, and then Sita stands right on the wood and she says, "Lakshman, light it." And he looks at Ram. "Ram, you don't want me to light it, do you?" Ram says, "Light it." So
Oh, you can imagine. He's trying to be a good servant. He lights it.
And then, of course, we know that when he lit it, Agnidev proved the utter chastity of Sita. And then she was proven chaste by the fire, and then she came back and was accepted by Ram. A few years later, there's some needless gossip that, why this Ram? He's allowing an unchaste woman to live in his house. A man was arguing with his wife. He said, you expected me to be so foolish as Ram to have an unchaste woman like you live in my house? Huh? So when Ram heard this, he was thinking, for the dignity of the kingdom, there can be no suspicion about me. So he told Lakshman, I want you not to say anything to Sita, but to take her on your chariot and bring her into the jungle and banish her. Bring her to the ashram of Valmiki Muni, leave her there. Tell her you're just going to take her on a vacation. She always likes to visit big saints. She always likes to go to the forest. Tell her you're taking her on a vacation. Leave her there, come back. She's banished for life. When she gets there, then you have to tell her. Lakshman was, I have to do this now? What a servant he was. It was breaking his heart. Here he was, driving Sita in the chariot, knowing that she was going to be banished from her beloved Ram for the rest of her life. And as he was driving the chariot, tears were flowing from his eyes. He was weeping and crying. And Sita just looked at him. Lakshman, what's wrong with you? What are you crying? We're just going on a nice excursion to the forest to visit Valmiki Rishi. It's a pleasurable experience. Why are you crying? And she could understand. Lakshman had to tell her that I'm taking you because Ram does not want you anymore. I'm taking you for lifelong banishment to the forest. And Sita, with a heavy heart, tears flowing from her eyes, she simply said, if that is the will of my Lord Ram, then let me be banished. If that is how I can best serve him and please him, let me be banished. This was the love of Sita Devi. Meanwhile, this was going on. As he was driving Sita to the forest to be banished for life, he made a vow. I'm never going to be the younger brother again. Too much trouble, too much surrender. Next incarnation, I am going to be Ram's older brother. So he appeared as Balaram, older brother. And then, if Krishna told him to do something and he liked it, he would do it. If he didn't like it, he would just take the role of Vatsalya Ras as a parent and say, Krishna, I'm sorry, but not like that. Huh? An example of this was at the very start of the battle of Kurukshetra, but for some inconceivable, merciful reason, Balaram was dear friends with Duryodhana. Huh? Vaishnavara. Kriya Budra Vigyena Bujai. Vaishnavas are very difficult to understand. And Balaram's the original guru, and it is said, don't try to understand the mind of your guru. Just try to follow his instructions. So here's the original guru. He was the teacher of Duryodhana. He used to teach him how to fight with club, and he was his favorite student. So when the battle of Kurukshetra started, Krishna took the side of the Pandavas. Balaram could not take the sides of the Pandavas because Krishna was on that side. He didn't want to fight against Krishna. But at the same time, because of his natural affinity for Duryodhana, he did not want to fight against Duryodhana. Now, Krishna wanted Balaram to fight with his side. So what did Balaram do?
He said, I am not going to have anything to do with this foolish war. I'm going on pilgrimage. Huh? I'm your elder brother. You cannot tell me what to do. I'm going on pilgrimage.
So during the whole battle of Kurukshetra, you don't hear a word about Balaram. He wasn't anywhere around. He was somewhere in South India, just doing yatra. Huh? He went to Badrinath, Kedarnath, Jamunotri, Gangotri. He went to all the holy places in the north and the south, everywhere. And after he heard that the whole war was finished, then he came to Kurukshetra to see. So we find how Balaram in Vrindavan is called upon by the name of Daoji. Daoji means the older brother. But we must understand that all of these wonderful, beautiful leelas, they are all orchestrated for the pleasure of the Lord. In the spiritual world, there is infinite variegatedness. And all of that variegatedness is simply expressions of the love of Krishna for his devotee and the love of the devotees for Krishna. And of course, in the next incarnation, he also appeared as older brother, Lord Nityananda. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he appeared along with Lord Nityananda, who, although not born in the same family, an expansion of Balaram, Vishwarup, appeared directly as the older brother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the original form of Balaram appeared as Nityananda, who was older brother in another way. He was the godbrother of Lord Lord Chaitanya's guru. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted initiation from Ishwarapuri, who accepted initiation from Madhavendra Puri, and Nityananda Prabhu was a direct disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Therefore, he was the elder god brother. He was actually the god uncle of Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, he had a superior position. But what was Lord Nityananda's constant meditation? Simply the service of Lord Chaitanya. There was no servant who could equal Lord Nityananda Prabhu, because he had understood the most intimate meditation of the Lord's heart, which was to deliver the divine mercy of the holy name to everyone and to anyone without discrimination. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is Balaram himself, was such a servant that although he was completely renounced and was living just like a sannyasi, one day Lord Chaitanya told him, you should marry. I should marry. He understood why he should marry. Because Lord Chaitanya is a sannyasi, he had to uphold a very, very high standard. And there were certain places that if he went, he would be criticized for going. But what about those people at those places? Should they be not given the opportunity to surrender to the holy name? So Lord Nityananda, if he accepted the position of a grihastha, nobody would criticize him wherever he went. In fact, he appeared as an avaduta for that purpose, simply for the service of the Lord. So we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is preaching to big, big, high people. Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya Prakasananda Saraswati, King Pratap Rudra,
big, big leaders of the Buddhists, big, big leaders of the Muslims. He was preaching to them, Chand Kazi, big politicians, big, big scholars,
great, great sannyasis.
And he preached to the people in general. But Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he was preaching to the most fallen, sinful class, such as Jagai and Madhai, the two most sinful creatures in all of the creation. Even Yamaraj could not keep track of the quantity of sins of Jagai and Madhai. But Lord Nityananda was very anxious. If I can make these two people Vaishnavas by invoking the holy name in their life, then I can do the greatest service for Lord Chaitanya. I can glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in such a way that the whole world will understand. And he went to them. And he was willing to be verbally abused, blasphemed, physically assaulted. And even while standing with his whole body and his whole dress drenched in blood, he didn't care anything but the service of Lord Chaitanya. My dear brothers, I don't mind that you hit me on the head. I don't mind that you're trying to kill me. I only mind that you're going to have to suffer the consequences of all your sins. Please take the name of Krishna. Take the name of Gauranga. Baja Gaurango, Kaho Gaurango, Laho Gauranga Namre, Jejana Gaurango, Say Hi. But he knew that Radha and Krishna both appeared in the form of Sri Gaur Sundar. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. That Radha and Krishna appeared in the one form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So if they chant the name of Gauranga, if they worship Gauranga, if they meditate on Gauranga, if they become devotees of Gauranga, then they are automatically worshipping with pure hearts, without any misconceptions, Radha and Krishna of Vrindavan, who is non-different. So this was Nityananda Prabhu's genius, how to bring everyone to Goloka Vrindavan through the mercy of the name of Gauranga. And he would go into the lowest places, to the extent that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, just to clarify any doubts that may be in the hearts of the devotees, he said, if Lord Nityananda is going into a house of prostitution, into a brothel, or into a bar, you should know that he's only going there to deliver the fallen souls. He is spotless in his character. And he was willing to accept a household life. He was willing to accept brutality, blasphemy, condemnation, misunderstanding, because he understood, this is the way I can best serve my master. Nityananda Balaram is the original guru, showing us by his example how to be a servant of Guru, and how to be the servant of the Lord. To be willing to accept any inconvenience, any humiliation, any pain, even up to death, to serve the mission of our Guru Maharaj, to serve the mission of the Lord. That is the example of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Because it is said that the best master is simply the one who is the best servant. A master never thinks himself master. A master thinks himself servant. Even God thinks himself servant.
Krishna is the supreme enjoyment, but what is that enjoyment? Simply giving enjoyment to his devotees. Huh? So therefore, in the spiritual realm of consciousness, everyone is servant, no one is master. But someone takes the position of a master just to serve you by showing you how to serve. Huh? That is Lord Balaram Tattva. So, on this day of Sri Balaramji's appearance, this should be our meditation. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us that Bala means strength, spiritual strength, not physical strength. And Rama means one who takes pleasure. So we should pray to Lord Balaram to give us the strength to overcome the obstacles, the impediments on the spiritual path, and to carry out our service to the Vaishnavas, to the Guru, and to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. When Sri Balaramji was living in Vrindavan with Krishna and the Brijbasis, it is said that one time they were herding their cows and playing near the Talavan forest. And the friends, Stoka Krishna, Subal, Madhu Mangal, they approached Balaramji and Krishna and said, "In this nearby forest, Talavan, there are very ripe, delicious fruits growing on the trees everywhere. And they are so sweet and so delicious. And they're just falling to the ground because no one is picking them. Why? Because there is a demon. His name is Dhenukasura. He is in the form of an ass. And he has so many of his associates. And they are the friends of Kamsa. And they have a law that no one can take one fruit from this forest. They send their fruits to Kamsa to enjoy, and they eat the rest. And out of fear, no one has gone there. But Krishna Balaram, we would like to offer you these fruits and enjoy them with you." Now you may ask, why the cowherd boys want to enjoy eating fruits? A devotee is not supposed to be attached to fruits. Huh? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you should not be attached to the fruits of your activity. You should offer them to Krishna. So why the cowherd boys say, let us all go there and enjoy? Who knows the answer? Why the cowherd boys say, we are maddened by the smell of these fruits. We want to go there and eat them. Let's all eat them together. If a devotee has no tendency to enjoy for himself, wants to offer the fruits of everything he does and all of nature to Krishna, why they were so anxious to enjoy? Raise your hand if you know the answer. Huh? Oh, that's a good answer. You see, what gives Krishna the greatest enjoyment? To see his devotees enjoying. The cowherd boys, they want to just enjoy these fruits like anything, just so that Krishna will see them enjoying, so that Krishna will enjoy. They don't care anything about enjoying for themselves, they're just doing it for Krishna. Just like if you love someone, don't you feel happiness when they're enjoying? It's like if you have a child, and you see the child crying, does that give you pleasure? Huh? But if you see the child laughing and dancing, it gives you great pleasure. Huh? Which gives you more pleasure, when Priyavrat's in a bad mood or when he's dancing and smiling? Dancing. It's practical. If you want to make someone happy, you have to be happy for them. Right? So Krishna, his whole life is simply dedicated to giving pleasure and love to his devotees. So if you want to give pleasure to Krishna, You have to reciprocate by showing him, by coming before him in such a way that you are happy. We were discussing this morning. When we come before the deities and we're like this, I'm tired. You think Krishna likes to look at you like that? But even if you are tired, I'm tired, but I'm not going to let Krishna know it. Harivo! Krishna thinks, just see this devotee, so tired he is, but he's just to make me happy, he's looking happy. Huh? This is Krishna consciousness. So the cowherd boys, they wanted to enjoy the fruit simply for Krishna's enjoyment, with not a speck of selfish motive themselves. And similarly, the gopis, it is said that they were lusty for Krishna. They wanted to embrace him and enjoy him, but not the slightest intention, not even a speck of motivation for their own self. They simply wanted to dance with Krishna for his enjoyment. And they wanted to enjoy Krishna because the more Krishna saw that they were enjoying him, the more he would enjoy. So the spiritual world, no one has any selfish intention. Everyone is simply living for the pleasure of Krishna. So the cowherd boys, they have made this request to Krishna and Balaram. Let us go together, because if we go with you, nothing can harm us. So Balaramji, he went into the Talavan forest, and he went to the big, tall tree and started shaking it. He was very powerful, and he loved to exhibit his feats of spiritual strength. And as he was shaking it, the big tall fruits were falling to the ground, and all the cowherd boys were just running down and offering them to Balaram and offering them to Krishna, and they were all eating together, having a wonderful time. They were so happy together. This is Vrindavan, being happy together. Giving pleasure to Krishna and Guru by enjoying prasad together. Soon we will have this opportunity, if I ever stop talking. So then, while they were enjoying, there was one person that did not enjoy at all. He was very angry. Denukasura. This is the nature of the asuras. The more they see the devotees happy, the more they want to destroy them. Envious people, they hate to see other people happy. They want to enjoy the fruits for themselves exclusively. Denukasura could not tolerate that they were enjoying what was meant for him. So he came charging, screaming like an ass. He was big. He was big like mountain. And he approached Balaram. And the strength of an ass is in his hind legs. He turned around and with all of his might, he started kicking Balaram in the chest. And Balaram just stood there, calmly, just tolerating these massive blows. And then Balaram just was thinking, what is this? This demon must come to an end. Because he is trying to enjoy the fruits of his abode. Talavan was his abode. He considered, this is mine, and whatever fruits are here are mine to enjoy. Does this sound familiar? This is my house, and whatever is in this house is mine to enjoy. Huh? This is what we call Denukasura consciousness. In other words, anyone who thinks like this is an ass. No offense or anything. Not that any of you would think like this, but it is true. What does an ass think?
An ass works hard all day, foaming at the mouth, big burden on him. For what? For a little sense enjoyment. And he thinks that what I've worked for, the fruits of my action, are mine to enjoy. This is animal consciousness. But Balaram, who is represented by the spiritual master, comes, kill that ass-like quality in our hearts. And don't think it's always so nice, at least to our minds. Huh? The spiritual master learns to teach us that all the fruits of our actions, all the fruits of this world, are meant for Krishna's satisfaction. And through his words and through his instructions, in so many ways, he's trying to kill this Dhenukasura ass who's living within the hearts of all of us. That, what is the Dhenukasura ass? The tendency to want to be the controller, to think that this is mine to enjoy. Huh? So Balaramji took Dhenukasura by the hind legs and started whirling him around. Threw him in the trees and he was dead. Ah. And in the same way, the spiritual master, sometimes he just twirls us around and we get all dizzy trying to follow his instruction. But ultimately, what is the purpose? To kill the ass in our heart. And in that pure heart, like the cowherd boys, we simply offer all the fruits to Krishna. We enjoy with Krishna. Everything is Krishna's. Huh? So after Balaramji killed Dhenukasura, so many other asses started coming, charging at him. And he and Krishna, they were just in the same way taking all of them, and pretty soon all of the asses were dead, like a panoramic scene of dead asses. And then the cowherd boys and Krishna and Balaram, from that day on, they just lived happily ever after, eating the fruits of Talavan. Huh? So in the same way, Sri Balaramji, who is represented by Gurudev, if we just allow him to kill the asses of selfish desire in our heart, then we can eternally enjoy with Krishna in the spiritual world of love. And this is the great boon of Sri Balaramji. So we should contemplate, meditate on how to properly receive the mercy of Balaram by receiving the mercy of our spiritual master, his divine representative, by simply accepting humbly. Spiritual master Balaram wants nothing for themselves. Everything they are doing is for us. Huh? We're performing a few austerities. Srila Prabhupada, my Guru Maharaj, what little service can I ever do for him? And what has he done for us? He risked his life. He gave every moment of his time in every way to just try to help us become God conscious. He dealt with so many problems. So many problems of health, so many problems of management, so many problems of everything. He wouldn't give up. At any time, he could have just gone to Vrindavan and lived a happy life. But he was experiencing the ultimate happiness because he was sacrificing everything for us. And more than anything else, that won the heart of Krishna. Huh? So on Balaram's appearance day, it is a most auspicious time to remember the mercy of our spiritual master and reciprocate with love and devotion.